Live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Thanks so much for staying with us. Former public protector, Advocate Busisiwe Mkhwebane, as you may have noticed, last week announced her resignation from the EFF. She is on the line with us. A very good evening to you, Advocate Mkhwebane, and thank you so much for being with us this evening.
Good evening, Melo. Good evening to KFM listeners. Thank you for inviting me.
Advocate Mkhwebane, let's just talk a little bit about your decision for leaving the EFF. Your letter when you penned it to, well, the letter that we saw that you gave to the EFF was quite heartwarming. What was behind your resignation?
What's behind my resignation is exactly what I said in the letter. Pimelo, I've been through hell and high waters. it's not been easy, even though I was the member of the EFF and doing my work with the organization, but on the other hand, fighting my battles, especially the challenges which I have been facing, the court judgments against me, the Supreme Court of Appeal, the High Court judgment. On the other hand, I'm attending the perjury case, and all those things, they needed me to also focus on defending myself, but on the other hand, there are cost implications involved, and worse as well, the past week, we also had a family bereavement, losing my sister-in-law, and on the other hand, I had party commitment. So we discussed with the family and said, you know what, let's make sure that one focuses on family and, on self, and we see how we can resolve all this and make sure that, I focus on the challenges I'm facing currently and allow the organization, to find somebody else who can also occupy the space and assist the organization to do its work, because I can't be occupying the position and I can't be failing to do party responsibilities, whereas there might be somebody else who can be able to do the work. So basically, in a nutshell, that's what caused all the resignation. I think you'd know the challenges I've been facing since the investigation of the Reserve Bank matter, the personal costs, the so-called rogue unit, the CR17 investigation. So all those issues have been piling and piling. So I think we decided that, let me take a step back and let's focus on these issues and family.
Apart from the bereavement, you were challenged, you were facing many of these challenges anyway when you joined the EFF. I'm just curious, what were your own personal expectations and your expectations, not just the EFF, but going into politics? You must have had some expectations.
I remember when I joined, I indicated that I've never been a politician and I'm here to learn. And indeed, I've experienced, I've got 12 months experience now of being a politician. And, I was working the ground, which for me it was not a problem because as the public protector, I worked with the public, doing door to door, during the preparations for the 2024 elections, doing the campaign for the organization. And I think that's what I've been doing, and I enjoyed. And I've spent a lot of time and the organization's time, or I contributed, and as well the family resources and time to do that, because loving the organization and believing in the policies of the EFF, which to this day I still believe in. Yeah.
Was, you know, obviously you said, you know, the past 12 months, was your time in politics an eye-opener, especially your time in Parliament?
Yeah, it was an eye-opener. You know, you would not understand how Parliament operates until such time you are in Parliament. I think I raised the issue of the numbers, and some people misquoted or, you know, misunderstood what I was meaning, that the ANC had the majority in the 6th Parliament. Remember, they had 230 members. DA, 87. Inkatha, I think around 14. And the other smaller parties. We had 44 as EFF. And you would see that a lot of deliberations, a lot of proposals which we were bringing to the table, they were just not entertained. The biggest issue which they focus on is the numbers, and they would just vote and against whatever you bring. I mean, remember even the Palapala report, the way it was handled, Judge Lopez's impeachment, Judge Mutata's impeachment, my removal. All those, they don't look into the into factual issues, into making sure that, you know what, they represent the voices of the people. So whatever good policies you have as the EFF, when they don't agree with that, they will just vote you out. You know, that's why there was that issue of saying, you know what, some of the ANC members are just voting without even engaging on the subject matter and, you know, understanding why they vote against or in favor. I mean, it was very rare to find people like Abo Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma in the process.
You spoke a bit.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yes.
No. Go ahead. We just have a bit of feedback, so I didn't realize you were still speaking. Go ahead.
Yeah. Yes. And the issue of Parliament, the way it operates. I mean, you've seen as well how badly EFF MPs were treated. You know, the rules of Parliament, the way they are as well, they are not helping members of Parliament to hold the executive to account. And you'd find that Section 55 of the Constitution is very clear that members of Parliament must hold the executive to account. And you find that the executive, being the president, the ministers, some of the ways to hold them to account is to answer questions, is to respond to the member statements. But you'd find that they just treat those not seriously. They don't answer questions. They just not taking actually the public serious, because they are not doing that for us as political parties. But then they are responding to the public. Hence, you'd find that when that happens, they are not held to account. Hence, you'd find that there would be some altercations to, you know, push them to respond. Hence, the issue of the numbers, which I was saying. And if you don't have numbers, the impact, yes, as members of the public, you'd, if you sit and listen to the arguments we bring forth, compared to how Parliament ends up voting because of the numbers, then you'd understand that sometimes it's not true democracy.
It's politics, right? I mean, that is the nature of politics, and obviously the way in which parliament is constituted. You did mention that you were in discussions with the MK party. What happened to those discussions?
No, remember, Pimelo, I've seen as well on social media some attacking MK that they are taking their members and all those, which anyway, any person in the country has freedom to choose. I mean, it's a constitutional right of any person. I was mentioning MK because my husband is MK. And I was referring to him saying, you must join us. And not only him, but friends and other family and other, yes, at home would say, no. Actually, you must come and join MK. So it's not basically to say, all out MK leadership or any other person came all gun blazing to say, leave AFF, come join MK. It's not the case. So,
but were you in discussions with the MK leadership at all?
No.
You are not in discussions with the EFF, with the MK party, EFF, about joining them?
With the MK leadership. No, I was referring during my interview, I said MK has been, when I was asked, what about MK? I said, no, they've been asking me. I don't know whether to say my husband is in leadership because he's also a member of parliament.
Did you get the impression that it was just family discussions or that there was, a formalized arrangement to get you to join MK party?
Well, it's a bit of both. Yes, family, every day we live together, we work together. But then on the other hand, yes, there will be some deliberations where they discuss and, there would be then that issue, not from him basically, as I'm saying, friends and other family members who are not known possibly that they are my family members to other people and some of the people in the legal profession who are members of MK and some women organizations who are members of MK. And those are the people I would say they indicated that, would need you to join MK.
Did you consider it at all?
Hence, for now, I'm still focusing on my family and my time with family and also checking what else can I do. Hence, I said to you that if there's any push to that, I might consider it. Remember, as the former public protector and as the current government or this current administration, the way I have been treated. And as I said that, I felt as if I'm being persecuted by all three spheres of government because I had incidences where they contributed in my persecution. Now you find a situation where you can't say I would be applying for this position because in nature I'm a technocrat. I have a vast experience in good governance, in implementing a legal administration and all those. So for now, I would say if there is a need for me to consider all those offers, I would consider them depending on what is brought forth and how would I contribute versus my family time versus as well being able to have something to sustain myself and my family.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, politics is not completely out of the question.
It's not completely out of the question based on the fact that that's the one of the few options which might be available for me to consider when I am ready to proceed with my life.
That's good, Mkwanambane. There's a voice note coming through. I'm hoping that you'll be able to hear it. Let's just take a listen.
Peter here in Sharpeville. I just want to say that it's very encouraging to hear from our leaders, and hopefully the interventions will bear fruits. And if I might add, I just want them to emphasize on their rollouts, you know, wherever they go. I just want them to emphasize the fact that, you know, especially amongst the youth that wants to venture into business, township business, I just want them to emphasize that it is not about money. It is never about money. Money comes as a byproduct. First, there should be love, you know. They should be passionate about saving our people, saving our community.
All right. I don't think that was necessarily for you, Advocate. I'm just curious when you said, you know, you're looking at other options. In what fears of service would you be looking at those roles? You're saying that you know, obviously you gave us your expertise. What are you looking at specifically, if not politics? And obviously you've just left your political party that took you to parliament.
Mm-hmm. I would consider, you know, with my experience, there's lots of, you know, passion on human rights related matters, on how I can contribute in that sphere, issues of good governance. I mean, working in either the AU, I've mentioned various boards, or being a director of any company or state-owned. But with state-owned, I know with this current administration, I might not even be considered. So that's some of the things I'm just now considering, which are options which are there, you know, and I will see. When ready, then I will move on with one of those, yeah.
I really appreciate you giving us your time, and all the best, Advocate. We'll obviously keep, you know, listening to whatever it is that you are going to update us on your future endeavors. But thanks very much for clarifying a few things for us.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Advocate Busisiwe Mkwebane. Listen, I want your take on this one. 086-00-00959. You can also send a voice note on 063-688-0959.
You missed it live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.